From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, impeachment hearing day three, or better stated, act three in Congressman Schiff's political theater.
As I stated during my deposition, I feared at the time of the call on July 25th how its disclosure would play in Washington's political climate. My fears have been realized.
That was Tim Morrison, a former member of the White House National Security Council, earlier today. Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss is here with the latest on the impeachment hearing, and more importantly, with an update on what is not getting done as a result of the political theater. And authorities in Hong Kong are rounding up protesters, in some cases violently, as the siege continues at the Polytechnic University in Hong Kong. Will this be the end of the protest, or will the fight against China's reach continue? Asian expert Gordon Chang is here with the latest. And a little over 7 years ago, Chick-fil-A set an all-time sales record on Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, an effort initiated by former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee and supported by groups like the Family Research Council to encourage people to stand with the privately owned restaurant that had made biblical values the foundation of their business. Well, yesterday, after Chick-fil-A announced they would no longer give to Christian organizations like the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes because of the pressure from LGBTQ organizations, Mike Huckabee said he regretted leading the effort to support what has become the nation's third largest fast food chain. He joins me later here on Washington Watch to explain. And this is one of those teaching moments in the wake of Chick-fil-A's capitulation. The path to compromise is not selected overnight, but is one that we're drawn toward when the fear of man eclipses the reverence for God and his truth, when our transcendent cause or mission is replaced with a goal of acceptance and conformity. You know, we've seen other great institutions. In fact, one of the nation's most storied institutions, the Boy Scouts, have gone down this same path. And now, after nearly 110 years, the Boy Scouts may soon be no more. America has a crisis of courage, moral courage, the courage to do what is morally right. And I'll talk about that later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, Jed Babin, Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the George H.W. Bush administration, wrote an op-ed column for The Washington Times in which he said, quote, "Any impeachment proceeding, even one as flimsy as the one being pushed against President Trump, is the greatest possible distraction from his responsibilities. In 1998 and 1999, when America last endured an impeachment drama, the world was a relatively calm place. 2 decades later, the dangers to our nation are more serious and immediate. They will, despite the president's inevitable focus on impeachment, demand his attention." Joining me now to talk about this distraction that is taking place during this impeachment inquiry is Congressman Jody Heiss. He represents the 10th District of Georgia and serves on the Oversight and Reform Committee. Congressman Heiss, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. Always an honor to be with you.
Before we get into any of the highlights of today's impeachment hearing, I just want to ask you this question, you know, from your perspective. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most significant, how much of a distraction has this impeachment inquiry been to President Trump and to Congress?
Well, you know, it really would depend on who you ask, Tony. But if you're talking about how big of a distraction has this been in terms of Congress doing the job that the American people sent us here to do, it would be an 11 or 12 or higher. I mean, here we have a Democratic-led Congress that has put forth more subpoenas than they have legislative bills to, and than they have passing anything that they were sent here to do, that all of us were sent here to do. And that in itself really tells the whole story. We have issues from the border. Here we're coming up on time to fund our government. I mean, look, we just passed a CR today to take us for a month, and when we get here at Christmas, there will be another CR that will probably get us into February or March of next year. Just kicking the can down the road, we just passed $23 trillion of debt. We have infrastructure needs. We have pharmaceutical prices that have not been addressed. We can just go on and on and on. None of these things that are of interest and of deep concern to America, trade deals, USMCA, and on and on. None of these things have been addressed. The Democrats have been fixated on trying to impeach the president, and that has dominated every ounce of oxygen out of the room up here.
Let me, for the benefit of our listeners, to the CR, continuing resolution, is a short-term spending mechanism because Congress has not, as it's supposed to, created appropriations bills and gone through the process. So what they essentially do is sometimes tack on a little bit more money and pass this short-term resolution. Now, the bad thing, Jody, about pushing this up before Christmas is I'm very concerned, as they've done in the past, that this will be loaded with all kinds of bad things in addition to what is currently there. And with the backdrop of everybody wanting to get home for Christmas, they'll just vote to get it through so they can get out of town.
That's exactly what will happen, and that's the plan. There's no doubt that people will, you know, we're supposed to be home with our families right there before Christmas, but they have kicked this spending bill down the road, kicked the can a little bit further till December 20th or maybe even beyond that. We'll get back here, and they will put every imaginable horrible piece of spending legislation in it in hopes that, in the desire to get back home with families, members will vote for it and go home. That in itself is not the way we're supposed to operate around here. We've had an entire year under Democratic leadership. They've known that this day is coming, that this month is coming, that it's time to get forth the appropriations bills that you referred to, but none of that. It hasn't even been discussed, Tony. That's what's so discouraging. I mean, the impeachment inquiry has been the number one single focus of the Democratic-led Congress to the extent that none of these other things have even been talked about. I mean, I haven't even heard mention of these things in the grapevine up and down the halls of Congress. It's all been about impeachment, and now the clock is ticking, and some of these must-pass bills are upon us. And as a result, they will be filled with all kinds of horrible things. And then under the crunch of time, the pressure will be put on us to try to vote for it.
And speaking of those things that have not been funded, something that has been funded for the last 58 years running has been the National Defense Authorization Act. That is currently being bottled up. There's the House passed a version, the Senate passed a version, it's in conference, but Democrats bottling that bill up. I mean, this we're talking about the funding for our military, for the men and women who serve in our nation's military. That hasn't even gotten through Congress.
Yeah, it's just stunning. It literally is mind-boggling that we're not even funding our military. What is driving this? I mean, is impeachment and the hatred for this president, however you want to describe it, so deeply rooted, so intense that the Democrats are not even willing to fund our military? I mean, it really is a frightful hour that we are watching unfold before us. And I can tell you, even more frightening is the process that has been behind all of this. Being a part of the Oversight Committee, I was in the basement of Schiff's dungeon, if you will, while all these secret hearings were taking place, the depositions, and you've never seen anything more unjust in your life, where the president's not even allowed to have a defense there. We're not able to subpoena any witnesses that we want. The only witnesses who were allowed to be there were those that Schiff believed would be harmful to the president. It's been a one-sided process. It's literally been a trial in search of a crime. And it's really a frightful time to see what's taking place right now. And the ramifications, the rippling effect, cover multiple other issues and legislation that need to be getting across the line.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. Congressman Jody Heiss is my guest. Discussing today's day three of the impeachment hearing, but more importantly, focusing on what's not getting done. And this is a point I made yesterday when I had Congressman Yoho on about the volatility internationally. We're going to talk with Gordon Chang in our next segment about what's happening in Hong Kong. But I want to go back to the impeachment hearing for just a moment, Congressman Heiss. We talked about the National Defense Authorization Act. Actually, something that I think needs to be repeated, I've discussed it actually in the White House with the president a couple of weeks ago when I was there. This is not something the media is wanting to repeat or focus on, but in the 2016 passage of the National Defense Authorization Act. This passes every year. This is for the 2017 fiscal year. One of the provisions in there was to require the president to certify or make sure that there was no corruption in Ukraine before U.S. funds were sent to Ukraine. So what the president was doing here, what seems to be in question here, is actually what Congress mandated the president to do.
Exactly. He was abiding by the law. I mean, isn't that what we expect the president to do? Isn't that what we expect everyone up here to do? He was abiding by the law and making sure this was not a quid pro quo. It was not. In fact, the Ukrainians were not even aware that funds were being withheld. And never did an offer or a demand come before them that they had to do certain things, jump through certain hoops in order to receive the funding that they needed to defend themselves against Russia. And the president was simply doing the law, abiding by the law to make sure before American taxpayer dollars are going to another country where there is great corruption, that the money is going to be spent in accordance to its intended goal and desire. So, yeah, you're exactly right. He was doing what was supposed to. And I think it's interesting, too, Tony, just right along, that it is under Obama, he did nothing. The Obama administration did nothing to help Ukraine defend itself against Russia. Just a few months ago, we were having the accusations against President Trump of Russia collusion, that he's involved in all this Russian collusion. Of course, that went away with the Mueller report. But now we find out that it's President Trump who did, in fact, even before all these current accusations, provide lethal funding and equipment to Ukraine so that they could defend themselves against
right.
Russia. And so the very one who,
which Obama did not do.
Which he did not do. But President Trump is accused of colluding with Russia, and yet he's the one helping Ukraine defend themselves against Russia. The whole thing is just absolutely mind-boggling.
I mean, let me ask you this, and we're almost out of time, Congressman Heiss, but if the president had not looked into corruption, and let's say it was not a Democrat former vice president that was involved, whose son was involved in potentially corrupt activities in Ukraine, I mean, we'd probably be having an impeachment hearing because he didn't investigate a Republican who was involved in the same type of activities.
Absolutely. It's a darned if you do, darned if you don't kind of scenario here. They're going to get him if he abides by the law and accuse him of withholding funds with a quid pro quo. Had he given it straight up, they would have said this was a corrupt country that you gave money to without abiding by the law to make sure that it was going to be spent properly. You're exactly right. Look, these folks have been after the president since the day he was elected.
Yep.
From the time he was inaugurated. It's been 3 years. They still have nothing impeachable.
Well, I'm glad that there are folks like you, Jody, on the Hill and in the administration that are continuing to keep their eye on the other matters that are actually more pressing and dangerous. So thanks for joining us, and as always, appreciate your leadership on Capitol Hill.
Likewise, Tony. God bless you. Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, in Hong Kong, authorities there cracking down, in some cases violently, on the protesters on the university campus there in Hong Kong, arresting the students that are holding out. Is this the end of the protest once they round up all of these individuals? We'll find out more from Gordon Chang on the other side of the break.
Abortion is one of the most combative and sensitive moral and political questions in America today, even among Christians. There has been a renewed effort in theological liberal Christian circles to argue that the Bible does not oppose abortion. In light of these arguments, it is crucial for Christians to know what the Bible actually says about abortion. Does the Bible teach that life begins at conception or birth? Is abortion murder? In FRC's new publication titled Biblical Principles for Pro-Life Engagement, Personhood, Scripture, and Church History, author David Clausen addresses these questions with relevant passages in the Bible that inform how a Christian should think about abortion, the question of personhood, and a survey of how prominent church leaders have interpreted these passages throughout history. Learn more by visiting frc.org/unborn. That's frc.org/unborn.
Meadow Pollock was a high school senior who was tragically gunned down during the Parkland school shooting in Florida. In an emotional and gripping FRC Speaker Series event, her father, Andrew Pollock, and education expert Max Eden discussed the tragic massacre and the politically correct policies that allowed the Parkland shooting to happen. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the Obama administration promoted a false narrative that teachers and principals were racist and couldn't be trusted to enforce rules with consequences. Instead, they argued for healing circles and restorative justice. These policies enabled a psychopathic criminal to maintain a clean background and purchase a firearm used to murder 17 people at the high school. The Obama administration forced these leniency policies into hundreds of schools, serving millions of students across America. To listen to this event and to learn more, visit frc.org/speakers. That's frc.org/speakers.
Religious liberty is one of the most important yet misunderstood issues in America. There's a growing perception that protecting religious liberty is an attempt to lawfully allow bigotry and prejudice. Therefore, Christians need to be able to articulate with greater clarity and persuasiveness why they support religious liberty. Biblical Principles for Religious Liberty, Evidence from Scripture and Church History, is a new publication from Family Research Council that presents biblical and theological arguments for why religious liberty is worth defending and encourages Christians to engage in the fight to preserve America's first freedom. This publication presents key biblical texts that support a broad understanding of religious freedom and key theological arguments based on those texts. In an increasingly secular world, Christians must understand and advocate for religious liberty. Learn more by visiting frc.org/belief.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, attention in Hong Kong continues to be focused on the city's Polytechnic University, where an ever-shrinking number of protesters remain holed up inside the besieged campus under the threat of arrest. The university has been occupied by hundreds of protesters as we go into about 5 months of protests there. Now, on that college campus where kids have retreated to, include many high school students, this took place really last week and has brought this protest to a head. On Sunday, it was the scene of some of the most intense fighting since the anti-government demonstrations began, as I said, nearly 5 months ago, as protesters fought back police attempts to enter the campus. And they used a variety of improvised weaponry, including crude homemade napalm, bows and arrows, and slingshots. Joining me now to provide some greater insight and analysis is Gordon Chang, columnist, TV pundit, author of The Coming Collapse of China, and Asian expert. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much, Tony.
Now, I understand the university remains sealed off by police, who have installed this tight security cordon around the institution, using instructions to those inside to drop their weapons and turn themselves in, and they're being arrested, in some cases, violently. Is this the end of the protest in Hong Kong?
By no means, Tony. I mean, it will be the end of the protest at the Hong Kong Polytechnic, because there's only about 100 or so still left inside the buildings. But I don't think that we're going to see an end to these protests for quite some time.
So does this give fuel to more protests, as the way they treat these protesters and what they do to them?
Yes. I mean, protesters who have managed to escape or who weren't on the inside in the first place are extremely angry. And that comes from Michael Yeon, an American war correspondent who is on the scene there. But we also can count on Beijing to do things which will anger people in Hong Kong, not just the young kids clad in black, but the majority of the mass of Hong Kong people. So just to give you an example, just a couple days ago, Beijing has been issuing statements that the Hong Kong High Court can't interpret the basic law of Hong Kong. And so, therefore, that just gets everybody upset. So we're going to see a lot more of these incidents where they basically Beijing will fuel more protests.
So just so everybody doesn't lose sight of this, let's go back to the very beginning and what prompted all of this protest. I mean, it's been going on now for over 5 months, and we're hearing about the protest, but oftentimes what's lost in this is actually what triggered this protest.
Yeah. If we go back even further than 5 months, because we've had more than 5 months of continuous protests, but these protests actually began in April, 7 months ago, and it was over the proposal of an extradition bill, which would have allowed the Hong Kong government to send fugitives to a number of jurisdictions, including mainland China, where, of course, there is no justice. And that united Hong Kong society, not just the normally pro-democracy groups, but also the pro-Beijing business community for various reasons. And so what's happened since that time is Carrie Lam, the Hong Kong chief executive, the top political official, has said she had permanently withdrawn the bill. But now there are another four demands. They call them the five demands. Extradition was one of them. There are other four demands, and of those four, one of them is universal suffrage.
Now, the protesters, they have launched what they described as a general strike. They did that last week in response to the death of a Hong Kong University of Science technology student after he fell near a protest. You know, they've been shutting down major roads. They disrupted the subway transit and otherwise ramped up this pressure on the government. And then I kind of retreated to these college campuses. I mean, where do you see this breaking out next?
Well, it could be anything. We know that the next big date is this coming Sunday, which is the district council elections. Normally, the district council elections don't attract very much attention. This time they are because the Hong Kong government has said, or at least suggested, that it's going to cancel those elections, which the pro-democracy groups are expected to sweep. And so right now, people are looking to see if these elections will go forward. Either way, it's going to be a defeat for the Hong Kong government and for China. And the question is, how does this go down?
Let me ask you this, Gordon. You know, 5 months of continuous protest, China clearly having their hands on the levers here of what's happening in Hong Kong. How badly has China's image, I mean, not that they had a good image to begin with, but how badly has this hurt China?
I think that it's actually hurt China quite a lot. And in a number of ways, of course, China looks coercive and belligerent. But the other thing is that it's also starting to look weak because it is not able to control one of its cities. And the important point here is that in Chinese dynasties have traditionally unraveled from the outside in, and that includes the last imperial group, the Qings. And so people are starting to say, well, you know, if they can't hold on to Hong Kong, if they can't tame the situation there, can they really control the rest of China? Now, most people assume that they can, but people are starting to whisper that because Beijing's policies towards Hong Kong are generally viewed to be a complete failure.
See, that's what's difficult for China, you know, being a what I would describe as tyrannical, communist, you know, repressive government. In order to keep it together, they've got to use repressive tactics. But if they do that now with Hong Kong, they've got the entire world watching. So the only real ability that they have given in their tool chest, they can't use unless, you know, they'll bring down the wrath of the international community.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, Tony, that you've made. And the reason is that, yeah, people are saying, oh, you know, the Chinese can just bring in the troops and quell everything. Well, yes, they can bring in the troops, but if they do that, the protesters are probably going to cause a lot of casualties for Beijing. So Beijing doesn't want to do that.
So power of persuasion is just not something they can use. They have to use raw power. Gordon Chang, as always, great to talk to you. Sorry we're out of time, but we're going to continue, obviously, to keep our eye on this. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, you, I'm sure, have heard that Chick-fil-A is pulling its support from Christian groups like the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Well, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who had previously organized Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day back in 2012, giving them one of the biggest sales boosts in their history, says he regrets it. He joins me next. Don't go away.
The topic of sexual sin can be difficult to discuss in the church, but it's something that needs to be addressed. To help inform this conversation, FRC has a new publication for church leaders called Safeguard Your Ministry from Moral Failure. In it, Dr. Jesse Gill, a licensed psychologist, specifically addresses sexual sin and the susceptibility of those in church leadership. He discusses the contributing factors to moral failure, a practical understanding of our sexual nature, and a call for Christian leaders to increase their dependency on Christ. The principles found in this publication will instruct leaders in meeting their emotional, relational, and even sexual needs in healthy ways so that there will be less of a foothold for temptation. Safeguard Your Ministry for Moral Failure is a must-read for everyone involved in church ministry. To read the publication and learn more, visit frc.org/safeguard. That's frc.org/safeguard.
Are you a parent of a school-aged child? If so, then you understand that navigating your educational system is one of the biggest challenges facing families across the United States today. Family Research Council's new publication titled The SPLC's Teaching Tolerance, What Parents, Teachers, and Administrators Need to Know, helps parents identify and monitor a specific agenda that is being pushed on their children in public schools. The highly partisan left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center is one of the greatest offenders on this front with their program titled Teaching Tolerance. This program is designed to infiltrate schools with radically progressive education resources that undermine Christian values about marriage and family. FRC's brochure outlines the content within the SPLC's Teaching Tolerance Project and empowers parents to protect their children against the SPLC's agenda. Learn more at frc.org/teachingtolerance. That's frc.org/teachingtolerance.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, in 2012, in response to the intolerant left attacking Chick-fil-A when the owner said he supported natural marriage, Governor Mike Huckabee organized Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And as a result, on that August day, the company set an all-time sales record. In fact, the company's become the third largest fast food chain in America, privately owned. Well, yesterday, the organization that has benefited from a foundation of biblical truth and have had Christians across the country and others flocking into their doors, yesterday they announced that as a result of the pressure from LGBTQ organizations, they would no longer be giving charitable contributions to Christian organizations. Organizations like the Salvation Army and the and groups like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes because of their stand on biblical human sexuality. Well, joining me now to discuss this is the governor himself, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. And you did a great job of setting up the background of this. It's such a disappointment, such a bewildering situation as to why Chick-fil-A, after being so successful, would decide that they're going to surrender to the bullies. And I think that the implications of this are far broader than Chick-fil-A, and that's what I really am concerned about.
Well, I'm holding in my hand just a quick search of the different organizations and individuals over the course of the last 7 years that have supported Chick-fil-A. I mean, you have city councils, you have, I've got a letter from congressmen, I've got governors that have gone out on a limb and defending them to have the right to the freedom to believe and to operate their business according to their faith. But yet, all of these people who have in some cases, sacrifice. In fact, here, you know this, 7 days after we participated in the Chick-fil-A Day that you helped launch, we had a gunman come into our building and shoot one of our employees with the goal of shooting as many as he could, and he had 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches that he was going to stuff in our mouths because it was in response to Chick-fil-A Day. Many people have fought for Chick-fil-A, and for them to capitulate to the bullies is betrayal.
You know, I respect Chick-fil-A can give whatever money they want to whatever group they want. They're free to do that. But when they did what they did yesterday, what was really objectionable is that they basically affirmed the lie that has been told from the far left about the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes by succumbing to the pressure.
Right.
They will cause a lot of people to say, oh, yeah, you know, the Salvation Army, boy, they're a bigoted organization. Tony, the Salvation Army serves everyone. They serve more people who are homeless, more people who are without food than any organization in the world. The great irony was Chick-fil-A said, we're not going to work with the Salvation Army anymore because we're going to focus on homelessness and feeding people. And they disassociated themselves from the number one homeless and feeding organization in the world. That makes no sense, but it left a stain on the Salvation Army. And I'm so proud the Salvation Army came out with a strong statement pushing back and showing how they help anybody, regardless of who they are. Fellowship
right.
of Christian Athletes, same thing. And the Paul Youth Foundation, same thing. These are great organizations, and they don't deserve to have this. But the bigger question is all those millions of people that stood in line for hours to get a chicken sandwich just to say, we stand with you and we affirm your right of free speech, your right of religion, your right of association. They have to feel deeply disappointed that the organization that has grown, they can't say they did it because they finally had to cave into the economic pressure. They've grown exponentially since they stood up back in 2012. But this is a sad day, and I'm afraid that the Chick-fil-A thinks that the left will leave them alone and that the LGBTQ community is going to love them. All they got to do is read today's news stories. They're already after them. They never have enough. And Chick-fil-A, I think, has made a very big, big mistake in thinking they could appease these people because they can't.
No, we know that to be the case. I mean, we've got a case study called the Boy Scouts of America and the path that they went down. They're about to file for bankruptcy. And you're right. I've read some of the stories already, the quotes from groups like GLAAD and others that say, okay, well, you've taken this step, but you have to affirm your LGBTQ employees. I mean, before long, they're going to demand that they have gender-neutral bathrooms, and who knows, they may have to open on Sunday.
Well, I was saying to one of my friends today, I said, you know, with this announcement yesterday, I'm wondering when we're going to find out that Colin Kaepernick is going to be the new voice of Chick-fil-A, and they announce their opening on Sundays.
Governor, we're up against a break. There's music there. You can hear that. Can you hold on for a couple of minutes? I've got another question I want to ask you on the other side of this break about Chick-fil-A and the bigger implication here that this has for Christians in the marketplace. All right, folks, don't go away. Governor Mike Huckabee, my guest, talking about Chick-fil-A's announcement yesterday that they would no longer be giving to Christian organizations like Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army because of their statements of faith. Not that they didn't welcome everyone and serve everyone, but simply because they had a statement of faith that the left didn't like. Does it trouble you? It troubles me. We'll continue our conversation with Governor Mike Huckabee on the other side of the break. Don't go away. News. We can get it from many sources, but what can you trust these days? Where can you get news that doesn't make you as suspicious as you are informed? If you're looking for something better, for honest coverage of the latest news, one trusted news source I look to is the Washington Times. When preparing for the radio program and selecting guests to join me on the show, I will often read the Washington Times and have their reporters join me here on the program because I trust how they cover the news. Join me and more than 7 million readers who turn to the Washington Times every month to get real, trusted news. For a limited time only, listeners of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins will receive a special annual rate of $69.95 for the first year. Subscribe to the Washington Times and get this special offer by using my name and visiting WashingtonTimes.com/Tony Perkins. That's WashingtonTimes.com/Tony Perkins.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. I want to invite you to join Luana and myself, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through June the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Thanks so much for being with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, you also got a TV show these days. Tell our folks about it.
You know, every weekend I have the best joy of my life hosting a television show on Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. We're on every cable system, satellite system. It's a very fun, entertaining show. I like to tell people, Tony, we have just enough politics to keep it interesting and current. Nikki Haley, for example, is my major guest this week, along with Randy Travis. We're going to have an Oak Ridge Boys on. But it's entertainment. It's fun. It's a little bit of insight into what's going on in the world. But it is a show that is designed not to raise your blood pressure, but to help you realize there's a lot of great things going on in our world today.
There certainly are. And a lot of good things happening. And one of the things I see happening here in Washington, D.C., which I think is why this president has so much opposition, is that he's standing for things and he's refusing to bow down to the pressure of the left. And that's driving the left crazy because that's uncharacteristic of a politician, most politicians, I should say, present company excluded. But I want to go back to something you said a moment, going back to our topic of Chick-fil-A. I mean, for years, the LGBTQ activists have attempted to brand Chick-fil-A as hateful due to the fact that the CEO back then in 2012, Dan Cathy, stated opposition to same-sex marriage and their company's donations and their foundations to social conservative groups. But the complaints, for the most part, have fallen on deaf ears among actual customers. I mean, as you pointed out, their business has not just survived, it's thrived. And this is despite the gay liberal boycott. Chick-fil-A's business doubled as Christians voted with their wallets. Why do you think Chick-fil-A felt compelled to make this policy change now that they had succeeded?
I have to think they must have a bunch of consultants from New York who have told them that they need to act more woke because that's the trend. And corporations that know better or that should know better are now embracing the agenda of the left. And if not, they're at least running from their associations with the people who made them who they are. What is so remarkable about this decision by Chick-fil-A is that it does not win them friends, but it's going to cost them friends. Tony, you and I both know, because we've been in this battle now for a long time, both of us, that the left is never satisfied until we're completely out of business. And if Chick-fil-A believes that the left is now going to start patronizing Chick-fil-A and saying wonderful things about them, they got to be kidding. It's not going to happen. But what has happened, now a lot of people, you know, I don't think people are going to boycott Chick-fil-A. I don't like boycotts. Don't support them. Don't encourage them. I do business with people that I know spend money on things that are not my favorite endeavors. But here's the thing that is unfortunate. This is going to send a message to the left that if you hammer a Christian organization long enough, they'll eventually cave in. And I think that this is going to invite an enormous level of pressure on other companies that have up to now tried to be distinct, serving everyone, loving everyone, being kind to everyone, but also maintaining their right to be Christian and their right to hold fast to their faith and their principles.
Yeah, what I think about when I see this, Governor, I see some of these small companies that have stood firm for their faith. I think of the Kleins. They had a bakery up in Oregon. I think of some of the photographers that have refused to capitulate to the left and deny their faith in the principles of what is true about human sexuality. Not that they were ever refusing to do business with people. They simply wouldn't make cakes or they wouldn't do this. That violated their deeply held religious beliefs. You know, some of them have lost their businesses. Chick-fil-A continues to expand, but yet they compromise. And I just think, you know, I have to think some of those business owners who are out there that have been standing on biblical truth and standing for their religious freedom, to see a company like this that has been so successful because Christians and others have supported them and their right to their free expression, are deeply hurt by this.
I think they are. I think a lot of the managers of local Chick-fil-A's are also deeply hurt because these are good people. They have to work really hard to be a manager of a Chick-fil-A. Yeah. It's hard work. They have an opportunity to do well financially if they manage one effectively. But most of the time, they're very committed Christian people who really buy into the philosophy of Mr. Truett Cathy, the founder. And I'm convinced, Tony, I could be wrong, but I'm convinced that if Mr. Truett were still here, this would never have happened because he was a person who built his business unapologetically on Christian principles. He served everyone, always has said, we'll take any customer and we'll treat them with dignity and respect. And they've done that.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would have surrendered to what's happened here and decided to just say to the Salvation Army, we don't want to associate with the Salvation Army. We want to associate with Covenant House, which is an organization that on its website openly, very proudly supports everything of the LGBTQ community. So that's the decision Chick-fil-A has made. They abandoned Salvation Army, Paul Anderson Foundation. They abandoned the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They say, you know, their defense is, oh, no, we haven't changed anything. But, Tony, they have. They're not being honest. And I'm just going to be blunt. That's not honest because when you turn from Salvation Army and you go to organizations like Covenant House, you have made a big statement about who you want your friends to be, who you're willing to affiliate with, and what your priorities are.
I think you're absolutely right. There's no question about it. And, you know, I'm like you. I don't like the boycotts, don't support the boycotts and stuff. Although I would say this. I wouldn't be opposed to a Red Kettle Appreciation Day where you may skip the chicken sandwich and drop something in the Red Kettle to help offset the loss that the Salvation Army is going to have.
I think that is a great idea. I think I'll encourage that on my show, and I'll encourage it on Twitter and Facebook, and just say, you know, look, we can't fix this. Chick-fil-A's made their decision, but as as individual Christians, we can certainly make ours. The angel tree that is such a big part of Salvation Army's Christmas giving, put a little extra in the kettle. Let's help them out this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Governor Mike Huckabee, as always, great to have you on the program. Good to talk with you, my friend.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. You know, I want to share a couple thoughts here on the way out today. This is one of those learning moments, teachable moments. In fact, I was reading this morning in our family Bible reading, which we all read. Daily reading today was in Matthew chapter 5, and it's you would know the Sermon on the Mount. And it's interesting. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Those, actually the word blessed there, better interpreted, happy, in a very reverent sense, happy, internal. The blessing here is internal. When you do these things, when you follow the kingdom of God, which is counterculture, by the way, it's countercultural. It's opposite of the flow. It's like a salmon. It's swimming upstream, the culture. There's joy from within. There's happiness within. Now, there's eight things listed, but I only read seven because the eighth is really different. The eighth in verse 10 and 11 are really the result of living in the kingdom. And that is, says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, we don't like that last part, where actually kingdom living, living according to these transcendent truths and refusing to yield to the winds of the culture results in persecution. Look, it's persecuted for righteousness' sake. When they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. You know, those who stand for biblical truth in human sexuality, marriage, are called hateful. It's false. Christians love people. Salvation Army, even thrown under the bus by Chick-fil-A, they're an organization that has a statement of faith. They serve everyone, just as I would think any legitimate church in America would welcome anyone in their doors, regardless of what their sexual orientation is, but hopefully they would leave changed if they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the difference. You see, the Salvation Army in most places still shares the gospel, which is the ability to transform a life. And what troubles me is that when we see businesses that, you know, had a foundation of biblical truth and they were attacked, and rightfully so, Christians rallied to them and others, not just Christians, others who recognize the importance of the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion and to be able to take those values into the marketplace. They defended them. And in August of 2012, they had their biggest sales ever. And they've continued to ride that wave and expand with over, I think, 2,300 restaurants in 47 states. And they've been successful. And it was because Truett Cathy laid that foundation. And just like so many storied institutions like Harvard and Princeton and Yale, they've lost their way. They're losing their way. You know, their sense of purpose, their sense of direction has been lost and clouded by the clamor of the culture. The Boy Scouts, a great example. And what's ironic is that the current president of Chick-fil-A is also on the board for the Boy Scouts. And I mean, just take a look at what has happened to the Boy Scouts. And we, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but we projected this a number of years ago when they went down this path. I mean, their membership declined. Today, the program has about 2.3 million youth. That was down from 4 million. They have, in fact, they're going to lose about another 500,000 at the end of this year when the Mormons will sever ties with the Boy Scouts because of their change in policy of allowing homosexuals, active homosexuals, and now girls into Scouts. It's no longer Boy Scouts. So they're going to be a fraction of what they were. In October, the Scouts announced an 80% increase in membership fees from $33 to $60. And they said that was the reason was the cost of insurance. Liability insurance for the Boy Scouts had increased dramatically in recent years because of the sex abuse cases. Wow. They're having to raise the insurance to cover from the liability from the sexualization of the Scouts. And what are they doing? They're diving even deeper into that. And the Wall Street Journal, citing anonymous sources, reported earlier that the organization had hired a law firm to assist in a possible Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing. And they've now had to mortgage one of their major facilities out of New Mexico. It's what happens. Compromise never stands still. Evil never stands still. And to go back to what the governor said, there's no appeasing evil. There is no appeasing immorality. It is constantly on the march and will demand more until there is nothing left. I would hope that Chick-fil-A would revisit their decision. I don't know that they will. We've actually seen this happen, this coming over the last 7 years as we've watched. We've had a little insight into their change of direction, but we've just watched, hoping that the influence of the Christian community flocking to their restaurants and supporting what they thought Chick-fil-A stood for would in fact encourage them to stand. Yesterday we found out that is not the case. But folks, America's future depends upon men and women of faith that have moral courage, that see the transcendent calls that we have as Christians to advance the kingdom and understand that living the Christian life comes with persecution. They'll say all kinds of false things about you. But blessed are you. All right, folks, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.